الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue our readings in the work of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى, entitled فضائل القرآن. فضائل القرآن, the virtues of the Quran. In our previous class, we're reading in the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, باب إثم من فجر بالقرآن. باب إثم من فجر بالقرآن, the chapter of the sin of the one who acts immorally with the Quran. باب إثم من فجر بالقرآن, يعني إثم, الإثم يعني العقوبة, the sin, meaning the punishment, the sin and the crime and the great injustice, as well as the punishment that comes about because of that, for the one who acts immorally with the Quran, for the one who is sinful with the Quran. We have seen that in this chapter there is a great warning from being negligent with regards to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being negligent in knowledge and likewise in application. And some people they are negligent in both aspects, and others in one or the other. And both of these are from the greatest means of failure and leading to great loss and destruction. The author, he mentioned a number of evidences in this chapter, and we discussed some of them on our previous class. Beginning with them, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah, he does not mislead by way of the Quran except the rebellious and the disobedient, except for the wicked, the people of al-fisq. We have seen some details with regards to this verse and the benefits with regards to that, and how it's related to this chapter, and that those people who turn away from obedience and they rebel against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a means for them to be misguided and for them to be led astray and for their hearts to be sealed and to not be able to benefit nor understand the legislation of Allah azza wa jal, the legislation of Allah azza wa jal. And then after that, the author, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and whoever did not judge with that which Allah has revealed, then indeed these, they are the kafirun. We have seen a number of benefits likewise with regards to this verse as well. A number of benefits with regards to this verse as well. And there are three verses in the same manner. فَأُولَئِكَ هُمَ الْكَافِرُونَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمَ الْفَاسِقُونَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمَ الظَّالِمُونَ. And all of these have been mentioned in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal in the same chapter, in chapter Al-Ma'idah. And likewise, we have seen a number of narrations from the Salaf, at the head of them Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and others from his students like Tawus and also Atta' and other than them, from the proper interpretation of this verse, and that it is referring to a type of disbelief that is lesser than major disbelief, and it is not referring to the type of disbelief of believing in Allah in the last day, or believing in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers. Rather, it is something that is lesser than that, and that is what is intended from this verse. This is what the Salaf, they have mentioned with regards to that. And the point is to see the dangers of ruling and judging with other than the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this tahkim and judging with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is encompassing in all aspects of life. Encompassing in all aspects of life. If a person, he were to perpetrate the prohibitions upon knowledge, then he indeed did not judge with the judgment of Allah. Then indeed he did not judge with the rule of Allah. And if a person, he were to neglect the obligations and to leave them entirely, or to fall short in performing them properly, then indeed he's not ruling with that which Allah has revealed. Then indeed he's not ruling with that which Allah has revealed. A person who neglects his prayer and he doesn't learn how to perform it properly, he's not ruling with what Allah has revealed. Whenever Allah has ordered that the prayer should be established, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that one should pray as he prayed, as they have seen him pray. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. So the person who's negligent in that, either he has no care to learn the proper prayer, or he falls short in that in any aspect, and in reality he's not judging with that which Allah has revealed. Then in reality he's not judging with that which Allah has revealed. A person who takes interest knowingly, knowing that it's haram, he's not judging with that which Allah has revealed. And these are just examples of this affair. So one, he would not claim that each and every one of these individuals are disbelievers, and that is what is understood from this verse. And that is what is understood from this verse. Rather, that's not what is understood from this verse. What is understood, as has proceeded, is that it's kufrun duna kufr, meaning it's a major crime and a major sin to have this description, as being a type of kufr. No doubt, if a person he were to declare that which is impermissible to be permissible, or to declare judging with other than the rule of Allah to be allowed, then this is a disbelief, no doubt about that. But as for the person who follows his desires and follows his whims, and he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which is lesser than major disbelief and major shirk, then he did not leave the religion about Islam. Rather, this is the way of the Khawarij, regardless of whether he's a ruler or a layman or person or regular civilian. So if the ruler, he judges with another judge following his desires, or if an individual likewise judges, it's the same ruling. It's the same ruling. If there's a man, he has a business. There's a man, he has a business, and they tell him that your business is about to go under. You're going to take a great loss. We advise you, and he has advisors, for example. We advise you to take a loan. We advise you to take a business loan, or else your business is going to go under, and you're going to take great loss. You're going to go bankrupt. So out of fear of bankruptcy and love for his wealth, he takes a loan that has interest in it. While he knows, this person, did he disbelieve in this manner? Would he be considered a disbeliever? Did he rule with other than the rule of Allah? Is taking interest allowed? No, it's haram. No, it's haram. It's from the greatest of haram. It's a threat of a war from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not major disbelief. But the person who is in this situation, is he ruling with the rule of Allah? Is he basing his movements and his judgment, taking the interest, following the rule of Allah? Is he applying it in his life? No, he's not. So this verse, no doubt, is included. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ. But what is intended here is that it's a different aspect. It's a lesser than major disbelief, although it's something major. So the same situation, if there was a ruler, for example, who allowed interest to occur under his kingdom or under his authority, he allowed the banks to be established, yet he believes that it's haram and he knows that it's a foul way, but he's afraid that maybe he will lose in his economy, or he's afraid that he has advisors who are advising him and whispering to him, saying that if you do not have these banks and the likes like this, or if you do not allow this to be established, then your country is going to fall and your economy is going to collapse. And then he fell short in that, and he was deficient in his faith, and he followed the advice of those evil advisors and the likes like this, then it's the same ruling. It's not major disbelief. As for if you were to claim that it's lawful, then this is another issue. And to claim or to believe that it's lawful requires evidence or proof. So not everyone who partakes in interest, for example, we cannot go and say, oh, well, he's claiming that it's lawful. This is something that's in his heart. This is something that is in his creed. And the origin with regards to the likes of these affairs is that it's well known that it's not lawful. So to claim differently requires evidence. I mentioned this in a bit of brief detail, although in our previous class we had discussed it, alhamdulillah. We had discussed this issue. I repeated it again because many of the youth, they're tried with the likes of these ideologies, and they're tried with the likes of these thoughts, and these come from those who are ignorant, and those who follow their desires, and those who follow their whims, and those who have no knowledge of the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make claims like this, and they turn the youth away from the people of knowledge, and they misuse them and they misguide them into committing great acts of treachery and acts of violence and acts of terrorism and the likes, and they mislead their hearts and misguide them, waliyadhu billah, all because of ignorance, and all because of a lack of understanding, So to be upon clarity with regards to the proper methodology, especially with regards to the affairs and the trials of the day, because in these days, many people, they are infatuated with takfir. They're infatuated with takfir. When I say infatuated, meaning this is all they think about, and this is all they talk about, and this is all they know, and they themselves have little or no understanding of the deen of Allah. And they have never completed the book in Lugah, before they even completed a book in any other science. And they cannot even understand the Arabic language. The best that you can say about them is that they're just repeating what's been translated for them. And the likes like this, and then they're declaring their mothers and fathers to be disbelievers, and societies to be disbelievers, and rulers to be disbelievers. And this is a great problem. This is a great violation of the right of brotherhood. First and foremost, a great violation of the right of brotherhood, that your brother in faith will expel you from faith and believe that you are no longer his brother and you have no rights from him whatsoever. And your blood is not sacred, and neither is your wealth, and neither is your honor. This is what they're doing in this manner. This is what they're doing in this manner, this issue of a takfir. And this was from the first deviations that occurred in Al-Islam. And the way that it occurred is in a number of aspects. And from that is that those people were distanced away from the proper understanding. They were distanced away from the people of knowledge. They were distanced away from the companions. And in this manner, their hearts were deviated and their understandings were corrupted. And they declared the best of all mankind alive on their day to be a disbeliever. To be a disbeliever, and they fought him to death with the likes of these verses. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ الْكَافِرُونَ إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. With the likes of these verses, and they misinterpret them, they misunderstand them, and they have desires and whims in their minds, in their hearts, and they try to make the evidence fit and coincide with their whims and desires. With their whims and desires until they are able to actualize and establish their aims and goals and their motives. And this is the way of the people of deviation. And this is the way of the people of deviation. They have creeds, they have ideologies, they have beliefs, and then they run to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and they try to make these evidences fit their desires and their whims to establish the falsehood and mislead the people. And this is falsehood, and this is a lowly way. Rather, a person, he will believe in the evidences and the proofs in the Quran and the Sunnah, and from here the creed is derived. One, he will not come with the creed in the first place and then look for evidences to support his ideology. Rather, he will look into the evidences and the creed will become clear for him. And the creed will become clear for him. So the people of the Sunnah, they do not have a creed first and then go looking for the evidences to make them fit. To make them fit their ideology. And in order to do this, they will have to use the verses that are unclear and neglect the verses that are clear. And they'll also have to focus their view in the manner that they use the evidence from one aspect and neglect others. They'll look at some evidences and neglect others. Because if a person here were to look at all of the evidences in one light and to understand them all properly in every issue of the religion, in this manner the true and pure truth is obtained and understood. But if a person here were to look at one evidence and neglect others, and in one particular issue, he'll look at one evidence and neglect others, then maybe he will seem as if what he's mentioning is true. But if you compare this evidence in the light of other evidences, now the truth becomes clear. Because the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah do not contradict each other. يعني من كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. For example, there's the hadith. Whoever his last statement from this worldly life is لا إله إلا الله, he went to paradise. He went to paradise. So this is in an absolute sense. So some people from the Murji'ah, for example, they'll claim that, oh, you just have to say لا إله إلا الله, you're good. But there are other narrations likewise that indicate that there are conditions and requirements for that statement to be accepted, like truthfulness and like sincerity. من قال لا إله إلا خالصا من قلبه صدقا من قلبه مُسْتَيْكِنًا بِهِ قَلْبُهُ. Many other evidences and other narrations clarifying that a person, he must say it upon knowledge, وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ, what he knows, that what he knows, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, what he's certain, what he's truthful. They will find that there are other evidences clarifying this affair, clarifying this affair. So if we look at it from one aspect, then we could easily be misled. So the way of Ahl Sunnah and understanding the truth properly and clearly in its purest form is to deal with all of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah as one text, and one specific issue. There are more examples. The author is going to touch on some of these affairs in the chapters to come, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, but this is of utmost importance. And this is what is being referred to here in the next verse. And the author, he says, well, قَوْلُهُ, and the statement of Allah, the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَشْتَرُونَ بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا الْآيَةَ. And in verity, those who conceal what Allah has sent down of the book and purchase a small gain therewith, a miserly worldly gain. And until the end of the verse. And the verse continues, and Allah, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That these people here, those who conceal what Allah has sent down of the book, they have knowledge of the revelation, and they have knowledge of the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in that revelation in those previous books, and they conceal that which is sent down in order to purchase a small and worldly gain. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ. These people here, they eat nothing. They're eating nothing in their stomachs except for the hellfire. Any meaning with the worldly gain and profit that they're making from misusing their religious authority and their position and misinterpreting the book to misguide the people and to misuse them, to take advantage of them, and to take their wealth unlawfully, they're not eating anything in their bellies except for the hellfire. وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمَ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And Allah, He will not speak to them on the day of resurrection, and He will not purify them. And they will have a painful punishment. And they will have a painful punishment. So this is from the traits of the Jews, likewise, that they conceal the knowledge. That they conceal the knowledge. And this is considered working, this is considered being sinful and corruption with the Quran. Working corruption, being sinful with the Quran. There's a great punishment for this. There's a great punishment for this. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ إِلَّا النَّارِ. They're threatened with the hellfire. And that this action leads them to the hellfire. And they'll be punished in the hellfire in this manner. And this manner, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So the people who conceal the knowledge and they do not display it and clarify it for the people, they conceal it with ulterior motives. This is the threat of the punishment that they will have. And as we have seen previously, those who misinterpret the verses as well. Those who misinterpret the verses as well. The one who does not judge with that which Allah has revealed, and the one who misinterprets the verses, the one who conceals the verses, or the one who turns away and denies the verses, or the one who knows them, yet he refuses to apply the verses properly. All of this is considered acting sinful with the Quran. All of this is examples of acting sinful with the Quran. Likewise, Allah, He mentioned about the people of the book, وَمِنْهُمْ فَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ وَمِنْهُمْ فَرِيقًا يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَاتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَاتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. That from them likewise, from the people of the book, there is a party of them, a group of them, يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَاتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ يَلْوُونَ أَلْسِنَاتُهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. That they're distorting, they're manipulating their tongues, and they're distorting the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal with their tongues and with their recitations. لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. So that you will think that it's from the book. So that you think that it's from the book. وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And they claim, saying that this is from Allah. This is from the legislation of Allah. This is from the deen of Allah. This is from the limits of Allah. This is pleasing to Allah. وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And it's not from Allah. And it's not from Allah. وَيُقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they say lies about Allah while they know. This is from the traits of the Jews. This is from the traits of the Jews. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And this is also الْفُجُورِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. الْفُجُورِ, acting sinful with the Quran, and from the aspects of that. And also from the traits, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوَضِعِهِ. That they distort the words and they misinterpret the meanings. They misinterpret the meanings. So from here we see the dangers of this affair. And the point of the author is to warn the believers. So they do not fall in the likes of this. They do not fall in the likes of this. And from those who have a great resemblance to the Jews in this aspect are the people of innovation. The people of innovation, especially the scholars from them, how they misinterpret the book. And they change the meanings to their desires, to fit their desires, and they distort that which is revealed from the Quran and from the Sunnah to follow their whims and to follow their lusts and to establish their ulterior motives and objectives. This is a foul and lowly way. This is a foul and lowly way. There's a great threat. There's a great threat with regards to this. So we should not be deceived. We should not be deceived by the people of innovation, the people of deviation, the people of misguidance, the people of desires, the people of whims, even if their numbers are great, or even if they have big masajid, or if they have big meetings or gatherings, or their likes like this, or they have lots of followers. This is nothing for a true believer. This is nothing for a true believer. A believer, he will follow the sunnah. He will hold fast to the evidence. He will follow the proof. And he will establish his religion with those who are like him. And he will have an allegiance for the sake of Allah. And he will have a disallegiance for the sake of Allah. So those people of innovation, those people of deviation, those people of misguidance, those people of misunderstanding, those people of desires, a believer, he will free himself from them. Because they're exposing themselves to a great threat and a great punishment. The people who have the people who are affected by the ideology of the Ikhwan Muslimun, for example. This is many of the believers, and they have different categories and different levels and different issues and different problems, but they all share in one common goal, and that is to make takfir of the rulers and to shed the blood of the believers unlawfully by declaring the Muslim rulers to be disbelievers and declaring their armies to be disbelievers, all with aims to overthrow the government and to claim to have authority in the land. And they are liars, and claiming with claims likewise to establish the Sharia in those lands, and they are liars and they know it. And they are liars and they know it, and they have never established the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal in any of the lands that they have ever came to. Rather, they have worked nothing except for corruption and chaos and brought humiliation to the Muslims in general, especially those that live in those lands. Especially those who live in those lands. If you just look with your eyes, you will see that. If you just look with your eyes, you will see that. How many revolutions have occurred in Egypt? And the grave of Hussein is still being worshipped today. The graves are still there. The graves are still there. The so-called grave of Hussein, right? They claim that the grave of Hussein is there in Egypt, and they also claim that it's in Sham, and they also claim that it's in Iraq. And they have three different graves. All of them are worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, claiming that he's buried here. And they say, no, he's buried here. And they say, no, he's buried here. And they commit shirk in all of those places. Waliyadhu billah. The point is, barakallahu fikum, that they're liars and they're deviant. Likewise, the tablighi and the sufiya and their different categories and their different ranks. And the majority of them, they're following this way. The majority of the people, they're following this way. They're misled, misunderstood, they have misunderstandings. And the people of the sunnah, they are few. They are few. But they are strong by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. A believer, you have an allegiance with them. You would have an allegiance with them, and you have a disallegiance with those who are contrary to them. And one must realize this affair and understand that. So he will suffice with the masajid of the people of the sunnah. And it's better to have no friends than to have bad friends. And the worst of all friends are innovators and people who have shubuhats and misunderstandings in their religion. And they have different tricks and ways that they try to mislead the youth. And they offer, for example, congregational suhoor. Or they offer, for example, trips and the likes like this. This is something that's well known. This is something that's well known. This is how many of the youth were misled in some of the countries of Ahl Sunnah, by deviants infiltrating the people and then inviting the youth to go on journeys and to go on trips away from the masajid and away from the people of knowledge. And they'll get them alone out there and give them advices. And then whenever they're away from the people, they will start to implant in their minds and to deduce to them these different ideologies and to try to rile them up against the leaders and against the general society of the believers with falsehood and with doubts and misconceptions, and with tahrif al-nusus, with tahrif al-nusus. So this is a threat here. This is a threat here. These people are under the threat. The people of innovation, hum al-asagir. We should not forget that. The people of innovation, hum al-asagir. The people of innovation, they're lowly. Even if they have lots of money, even if they have position in society, even if people like them and they have lots of likes on YouTube, all of this means nothing for a person of the sunnah. A person of the sunnah, he's looking for the pleasure of Allah. And he has his allegiance for the sake of Allah and with the people upon the same path. So he will disavow himself and he will dislike them in moderation according to that which is lawful. That doesn't mean he will violate their rights or he will take their rights unlawfully, but he will definitely have a position. You'll definitely have a position that I am a person of the sunnah and I have an allegiance with the people of the sunnah and the people of innovation and deviation. I am free from them and I am free from their gatherings and I'm free from their masajid, and I will not help them upon their deviation. And I will not help them upon their deviation. I will not help them I will not pay a dollar for their masjid to establish the birthday party in whenever the birthday comes. Well, I will not establish a dollar for them. I will not pay a dollar for their masjid. Because in paying a dollar for their message, you're sharing and participating in that. Whenever the birthday of the Prophet comes, they're going to establish the birthday. Or whenever other innovations come, they're going to establish them likewise. And you're supporting that with your daughter? Like, this is not lawful. This is not lawful. And not to mention the people of innovation, they have many tricks and tactics and ways to get money, and it's seen. As for the people of the Sunnah, they're the ones who restrict themselves to the legislative means, and they're the ones that we should support and we should help wherever they are, in these lands or in other lands. And we have an allegiance with them until the extent that Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, rahimahullah, he died in the 131. He said that I will hear about the death of a person of the Sunnah in a land far away, and it's like I lost one of my body parts. I feel like I lost one of my body parts. And because of his love for the Sunnah carries him to have an allegiance for the Sunnah, even if he doesn't know them, but he knows he's a person of the Sunnah. He has honor for him, love for him, and respect for him wherever they may be. So this is very important, because there's a great sin and a great threat. And a great threat for those who act immoral with the Book of Allah, and those who are sinful with the Quran. And from the aspects of that is to misinterpret the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal to indicate falsehood, like making khuruj upon the rulers. Also in our previous class, misinterpreting the Book of Allah to make dancing lawful or to make singing lawful and the like this. We've seen this is from the ways of some of the Sufiya likewise. They'll misinterpret the Book of Allah, and they'll claim that this verse indicates that dancing is pleasing to Allah and lawful. Dancing in the masjid, dancing and holding hands, spinning in circles, all of this is from the deen of Allah. And they'll use a verse in the Book of Allah to establish that. This is what the author he's referring to here. Babun ifmu man fajara bil Quran. Babun ifmu man fajara bil Quran. The sin and the threat of a great punishment for those who act sinful with the Quran, and from the aspect that we're discussing now, specifically by misinterpreting the Quran to fit the desires and the whims and to indicate falsehood. This is very dangerous. And then after this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa an Abi Sa'idin al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal yakhruju fi hadhihi al-ummah wa lam yaqul minha قوم تحقرون صلاتكم مع صلاتهم يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حلوقهم أو حناجرهم يمرقون من الدين مروق السهم من الرمية فينظر الرامي إلى سهمه إلى نصله إلى رصافه فيتمارى في الفوقة هل علق بها من الدين شيء أخرجاه. The author, he mentions now the narration of Abu Sa'id. He says, rahimahullah, Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there will appear in this nation, yakhrujuna fi hadhihi al-umma, there would appear in this nation. Abu Sa'id, he says, he did not say from this nation. Walam yaqul minha, yakhrujuna fi hadhihi al-umma, walam yaqul minha, that there would appear in this nation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, there would appear in this nation, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he says, radiyallahu anhu, he didn't say from this nation. He said in this nation. And this is an indication of the diligence of the companions and the narratives of hadith specifically, radiyallahu anhum, to observe the terms that were narrated. Because there's a difference between fi and min. يَخْرُجُونَ fi وَيَخْرُجُونَ min. There's a difference between these two words, and rulings could be derived from these two words and the understanding that they give in this particular context. And this is an indication to an issue that people of knowledge have discussed with regards to the ruling of the Khawarij. Had hum kufar am hum usat? Are they disbelievers or are they disobedient? Bughat, any disobedient and rebellious, rebelling against the believers. Are they considered disbelievers? The Khawarij, or are they considered Muslims who are sinful? Muslims who are sinful. For example, the first, the Khawarij, those who killed Ali radiallahu anhu. Those who killed Ali radiallahu anhu. Are they disbelievers, or are they Muslim sinners? Are they Muslim sinners? And what is the ruling? The indication here of this understanding is leaning towards that Allah knows best that they are disbelievers. قَالَ يَخْرُجُونَ فِي وَمَا قَالَ مِنْ. And he said that they will appear in this ummah. He didn't say from this ummah. And he meaning that these people, they're not Muslims. They're not Muslims. This is one understanding. But Allah knows best. The majority of the scholars are of the opinion that they are Muslims. That they are Muslims, but they were deviant. And they deviated in a great manner. And they're innovators.
and they're innovators, and their innovation is less than major disbelief, and Allah knows best. If we read this evidence here and other evidences likewise, the opinion of them being disbelievers is highly supported from the evidence. But the majority of the scholars, they declared them to be usat and bughat. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he was asked about them, and he said, min al kufri farru. They're fleeing from kufr. How can you declare them to be disbelievers? Are they disbelievers? He said, they're fleeing from disbelief. In their minds, in their misguided understanding, they're fleeing from disbelief. They're raising the book of Allah on their swords and on their spears in this manner. And they're not disbelievers. They're what they're doing was based upon faith, but their faith was corrupted because of deviance and ignorance and misunderstandings. Because of deviance and ignorance and misunderstandings. So this is an issue the people of knowledge, they mentioned, and Allah knows best. What I have benefited from the works of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adi ibn Adam Ethiopia, rahimahullah, he says al-aslam at-tawakuf. Al-aslam at-tawakuf. To wallahu adam. Are they disbelievers or not? Wallahu adam. The majority of the scholars, again, they declare them to be Muslims who are sinful. But the evidence is here, we read them. Some of them are highly supportive of the fact that they were disbelievers. That they were disbelievers and Allah knows best. So here are the descriptions. They will appear in this nation. He did not say from this nation. And this is what we're discussing now from the statement of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu. This is his indication of his position in the issue. A group of people that you will consider your prayers inferior to their prayers. Does want to appear in this nation? A group of people that you will consider your prayers inferior to their prayers. Who is saying this? Whose statement is this? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is he saying it to? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's telling his noble companions sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhum, that there will appear amongst you a group of people. Tahqiruna salatakum ma salatihim. You will belittle your prayer compared to theirs, and you will consider your prayer, your salat that I taught you. you will consider your salat that you learned from me to be inferior and insignificant compared to theirs, and the amount and the outward appearance. The amount and the outward appearance. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqra'una al-Qur'ana, and they recite the Qur'an. And some wordings likewise, tahkiruna qira'atakum ma qira'atihim, that you will belittle and consider inferior your recitation to theirs, and the amount of how much devotion they have to reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. La yujawizu huluqahum aw hanajirahum. It does not go beyond their throats. It does not go beyond their throats. It doesn't go beyond their throats. Meaning it does not sink in to their hearts. It does not sink into their hearts. They have no proper understanding. They don't have the true fiqh and the deen. They did not learn the Quran from the proper sources. They did not approach it in the correct manner. What is the correct manner to approach the Quran? Naam? Ala fahm al-sahaba, in the manner that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught the companions. We have seen this in the previous classes. That one who approached the Quran first and foremost, believing that it's the speech of Allah, it's the words of Allah, it's revelation, it's not creation. It's revelation, it's not creation. It's guidance for all mankind. It's the seal and final of all revelation. Number one, this is how one who approaches it. This is the words of Allah. This is the speech of Allah. This is the revelation of Allah. It's not created. It's not created. It was revealed for guidance. It's light and guidance and benefit and mercy and a means of cure for mankind. But to benefit from that one, he must believe. So he will approach the Quran with faith, believing in it and believing that it's guidance. And then also he will strive to understand it. He will recite it and memorize it and strive to understand it and realize what it requires and necessitates from law and legislation and implement it in his life. And we had seen the narration of Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. Whenever he narrated from his teachers, Uthman ibn Affan and Ali ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum, that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would teach us 10 verses at a time and teach us the meanings and the application. فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ مَعًا. So we learned the knowledge and the application together. We learned the knowledge and the application together. Likewise, in the hadith of Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri, he said that then, كُنَّا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَمْ حَزَاوِرًا. كُنَّا حَزَاوِرًا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. We were young boys, yani fityan. We were young boys, yani close to the age of puberty, around the age of puberty, before some or over some, like this. And we're with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فتعلم الإيمان قبل أن نتعلم القرآن. We learned iman before we learned the Quran. ثم تعلمنا القرآن فازددنا به إيمانا. And then after that we learned the Quran, and we increased in faith by way of that. The importance of learning the legislation and the fundamentals of faith and the principles of the deen, and the principles of the deen even before learning how to recite. And even before learning how to recite, they learned iman. They learned how to believe in Allah. They learned the tawheed of Allah. Al-imanu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa yawmin akhir. Al-imanu bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. They learned these affairs. Al-imanu bil jannah wa nar, bil mizan. Al-iman bil sharia, bil halali wa haram. They learned the affairs of faith first and foremost. We learned the affairs of faith first and foremost. And then whenever you read the Quran, you will be able to benefit, because this is what the Quran is establishing: these affairs of faith, the principles of faith, the principles of the religion, the law and the legislation of the deen and creed, and in action and deed. So we must approach the Quran in the proper manner, and strive to recite it and to learn it, and also believing in the law and legislation that is found therein, taking the commandments and prohibitions seriously. Beginning with the greatest commandment of Tawheed and the greatest prohibition of Shirk, learning the proper creed and belief first and foremost so that a person's deen is good, and then learning the proper methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. In this manner, a person, he'll be able to benefit from the Quran. He'll be able to have the mercy of the Quran and the cure of the Quran and find guidance in the Quran. As for one who approaches it another way, like the way of the Khawarij, for example, when they advance and devote themselves to reciting, and then making their own interpretation, distance away from the interpretation of the people of knowledge, distance away from the understanding of the Sahaba. Whenever Ibn Abbas, he went to their side, radiallahu anhuma, to debate with them. The first thing he said, "I'm coming to you from the side of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I don't see none of them with you." And they're ready to fight. They're holding up the Quran. They're ready to fight. Allah, he said this, and they're going to fight for that. The Khawarij. And then Ali, he's defending his position and his stance, and they have a revolting against him. And Ali is on the side, radiallahu anhu, with the companions. And Ibn Abbas, he says, "I'm coming to you from their side, the side of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't see none of them with you. I don't see none of them with you." What is this a sign of? That this is the point of their deviation. This is the point of their deviation. They have no people of knowledge with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even described them as being hudatha al-asnan. Yani hudatha al-asnan, that they're young, and they sufaha al-ahlam, hudatha al-asnan, that they're young, and that they have low, they have bad intelligence and minds, and they're corrupted in their young age. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, that this is dangerous. That this is dangerous to be away from the people of knowledge, or to be distanced from them, or to have one's opinion by his own self that's contrary to the opinion of the well-known people of knowledge, and to be distanced away from the understanding of the Sahaba. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one wording, he says about them, يَقْتُلُونَ أَهْلَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَيَدْعُونَ أَهْلَ الْأَوْثَانِ, that these people here, they kill the people of Islam and they leave the people of paganism and polytheism. And in this wording here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that they recite the Quran, it does not go beyond their throats, meaning they will not act upon it, and they will go out of the religion as an arrow darts through the game, whereupon the archer may look at his arrow, its head and its shaft and its lower part, to see whether it is bloodstained or not. And meaning they will have no trace of Islam on them whatsoever. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. From this aspect, again, is an indication that they're disbelievers. يَمْرُقُونَ مِنَ الدِّينِ كَمَا يَمْرُقُ السَّحَمْ مِنَ الرَّمِيَّةِ, that they go out of the religion. They exit the religion the way the arrow exits the game. And even to emphasize this, and then a person, the archer, he will look at the arrow. Is there any blood on the tip? What about on the shaft? Is there any blood on the end of it? And he's doubting now that possibly there may be some blood on his arrow at all. Meaning that there's no trace of blood left. Meaning that these people, they leave their religion in this manner. You understand that? There's no trace of Islam left. So from this aspect, the many have declared them to be disbelievers. So this is something very dangerous. Meaning that they have deviated in such a manner that if they have Islam with them, it's very little. The Islam that they have with them is very little. And they have great deviation. They have deviated in a great manner, far away from the straight path. Far away from the straight path. And who is further away from the straight path than one who would declare Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and those with him from the Sahaba to be disbelievers. So this is from the ways of the Khawarij. This is very dangerous. We should take heed from this. The people who follow these ways of the Khawarij today, of ISIS and Boko Haram and the rest of them, and they're all different sects and groups heading them, Ikhwan Muslimun, Waliyadhu Billah, deviant groups. This is the case. They're deviant. They're astray. So we should have no love for them. We have love for them in this manner like this. Whether we have hatred for them, we have hatred for them. And no doubt if a person is a believer, and every believer has a degree of love, but no, a person of the Sunnah, he will never display that for the people of innovation. Anyone I'm trying to say, barakallahu fikum, that we should distance ourselves from the people of innovation. In this society, in this community, down the street, right over there, wherever we may be, we distance ourselves from them and from their masajid and from their people and from their callers and from their so-called sheikhs or whatever they make up, and be upon clarity. These people, they're people of innovation, and they are in reality enemies of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Enemies of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claiming that they love him. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ رَطْبًا وَكَانَ ابْنُ عُمَرَ يَرَاهُمْ شِرَارَ الْخَلْقِ وَقَالَ إِنَّهُمْ انْطَلَقُوا إِلَى آيَاتٍ نَزَلَتْ فِي الْكُفَّارِ فَجَعَلُوهَا عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَجَعَلُوهَا عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And in one wording, they read the Quran fresh, and meaning fluently. And Ibn Umar, he used to say, radiallahu anhu, that they're the worst of creation. Indeed, they go to the verses revealed about the disbelievers and apply them to the believers. Indeed, they go to the verses of the disbelievers and they apply them to the believers. And in the verse, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And the likes like this. They'll go to the likes of these verses and they'll never exit the hellfire. And they'll apply them to their brothers in Islam. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِي تِرْمِذِي وَحَسَّنَهُ أَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا مَنْ سُئِلَ عَنْ عِلْمٍ عَلِمَهُ ثُمَّ كَتَمَهُ أُلْجِمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِلِجَامٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. That Tirmidhi, he mentioned and declared it to be Hassan from the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever is asked about some knowledge that he knows, then he conceals it, he will be bridled with the bridle of fire on the day of resurrection. He'll be bridled with the bridle of fire on the day of resurrection. Lijam, the lijam is the muzzle or the bridle that they put on a horse, so he will not be able to bite. And so this is what is being referred to here. And the likes of this will be placed on the face of the person. The likes of this made from fire will be placed on the face of a person on the day of resurrection for concealing knowledge. So again, this is another aspect of acting sinful with the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. From the benefits of these narrations, we take them and then we close inshallah, is the clarification, and that the fact that a person, he's always reciting the Quran, or he's known to be from the reciters of the Quran, this is not sufficient. This is not sufficient alone to identify the truthfulness of his faith. This is not sufficient alone to identify or to testify to the truthfulness of his faith. And he may be someone, he will recite the Quran in a great manner, and he memorize it very fluently and recite it a lot until he's famous for that, or he's well known for that, and the likes like this. And this is not sufficient as a testification of the truthfulness of his faith, or the correctness of his methodology and way. Rather, maybe a person can memorize the entire Quran and recite it fluently and be deviant by way of misunderstandings and innovations and misguidance and creed and belief and methodology, or be deviant by way of following whims and desires and lusts that are impermissible. Likewise, the people of knowledge as well. Maybe he's not a reciter of the Quran, but he's a person of the Quran, of knowledge. This is not sufficient. It's not sufficient to have a diploma, to have a degree, to have a doctor's degree. It's not sufficient to have the likes of these affairs. This is all considered good. It's not sufficient to have the praise of a particular scholar and the likes like this. This is not sufficient by itself until it's testified from his actions and from his life and the way that he carries himself, and it's known from him that which is mentioned in that testimony of that diploma, or in the testimony from that scholar in the tazkiyah, is correct and is in accordance with reality. Because there are some people, barakallahu fikum, they have degrees, doctor's degree and this degree and that degree, and they're deviants. They're great deviants. And maybe even one of them, he said, I studied with Shaykh Uthaymeen. Maybe he did, but he deviated later after that. And his deviation is clear and cannot be denied. Riyad al-Bilal, or others, they have a praise from this sheikh or the praise from that sheikh. And then we find out and we know without doubt he's a liar and he misused the trust and he abused the position and authority, the position and the religious authority. He abused that, even though Sheikh so-and-so praised him. Had we told Sheikh so-and-so what we know about him, we would not praise him anymore. We would not praise him anymore. So this is something that's very important. تَحْكِرُونَ صَلَاتَهُ مَعَ صَلَاتِكُمْ تَحْكِرُونَ صَلَاتَكُمْ مَعَ صَلَاتِهِمْ. You belittle your prayer to theirs. تَحْكِرُونَ قِرَاءَتَهُمْ مَعَ قِرَاءَتِهِمْ. قِرَاءَتَكُمْ مَعَ قِرَاءَتِهِمْ. You belittle your recitation to theirs. And this was the attribute of the Khawarij. They're from the greatest deviants. You understand this part? We have to be very careful because we're tried. Great deviation is in the ummah right now. People's hearts are deviated. Their hearts are attached to falsehood and to people of falsehood and to YouTube and these different people. He's got 1,000 likes or 1,000,000 likes or 1,000,000 followers, and they listen to him and they click and they click and they watch and they watch and they watch, and the people who are trustworthy and reliable are left, and their hearts are attached to this famous person and that famous person. What the other billah, because of deviation, and then they're misused, and then in the end, who laughs? The disbelievers, the Jews and the Christians, they laugh. The devil is laughing at Ahl Sunnah. What do you have to be? Because of misunderstanding and because of not being sincere and not being truthful and not striving to follow the Quran inwardly and outwardly in public and private. Inwardly and outwardly in public and in private. So also, we see there's a warning from going to extremes in the religion and from being meticulous and extreme. A warning from being extreme and being meticulous in the religion. And the religion is easy. Being meticulous in the religion and likewise and worship, and to go into minute details that are not required nor necessary. And also we see in these narrations from the benefit of this is that maybe a person, he will go out of the religion and he did not intend to. Maybe a person, he would deviate from the sunnah, and that's not his intention. And he's looking for the truth, and he found falsehood and believed in it. Yeah, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ كَمْ مُرِيدٍ لِلْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُسِبْهُ. How many people are intending to do good, yet they do not obtain it. So it's very important for a believer to be aware of the history of Islam, to be aware of the history of the Ummah, beginning with the biography of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and then after that likewise, and those first three generations, and how we got to the state that we're in today. How the Ummah got to the situation that we see as a reality today, because it was not always like this. It was not always like this. At one time, it was great empire, great honor, and great authority, and great command. How was that divided? How was that conquered? How did humiliation befall the Ummah in this manner? And what is the means of lifting that? And what is the means of lifting that? By returning to the Quran. By returning to the Quran, by returning to the Sunnah, by returning to the understanding of the Salaf of the Ummah, by being sincere, you brother and sister, you being sincere, me being sincere, we being sincere in our faith, in our religion, and holding fast to the knowledge that we learn and implementing the principles that we know and striving to establish the deen in our life and raise our family up on that way until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us and He raises the humility. As for following desires and the likes and blaming others like rulers and this one and that one for the downfalls and for our own shortcomings, this is not the means of success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.